It's not the Austin era that has begun, but the Cody Rhodes era has begun in WWE. Welcome into Squared Circle Radio Live. We are live right after the Raw after WrestleMania. I'm your host, Chris Belcher. That's the Young Buck, Andy York. We are so glad that you are with us. Again, we're live on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube. Drop your questions, your comments, all of those things. We'll address them on the show. We're going to talk about everything from Raw. We're going to do some takeaways from WrestleMania, pay tribute to some of the longest reigning champions that our era has seen. All of those reigns that ended at WrestleMania. Andy, I don't think we did a great job on our post shows of giving them their flowers. So we're going to do that tonight and so much more.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, and we're trying to figure out our schedule to do this because we normally record during Raw, and we were like, well, we've already covered everything that's already happened, so we can't really cover anything that's not happened yet, and might as well keep the live stream streak going for 3 days in a row, because what a Raw after Mania was. It finally felt like a proper Raw after Mania for the first time. Probably since before the pandemic, yep. And so it's great that they're back and what a show it was.
Yeah, we didn't really get any like new signees or anything. Obviously, we got both NXT men's and women's champions showing up, which was huge. The GOAT showing up, and then Jade showing up. We'll just talk about all those things. But yeah, you're right. The Raw after WrestleMania felt big this year for the first time in a long time. Speaking of those live shows, Andy mentioned it. We've done 3 straight days of live shows now. Thank you guys for everyone that has watched, that has listened, that has dropped comments, all that stuff. We really appreciate it. Last night's live show, 24 hours ago, has become our most viewed show on our YouTube channel. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody that has checked it out. I know the majority of you that are watching on YouTube are not subscribed to the channel. Do yourself a favor. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. We're not going to bug you or send you an email or whatever. Just hit the subscribe button. It helps the show a whole lot. One more favor, hit the thumbs up button on the video that just likes the video. That helps the algorithm and the channel and all those kind of things. Again, does not cost you a thing, but it helps us out a ton. Again, thank you so much for your support, Andy, and I cannot thank you enough for just, all your comments and just tuning in and checking us out. We appreciate it very much. Again, drop them in tonight. We'll hit them on the way through. But, Andy, the first thing we got to do, man, I'm so glad it started off Monday Night Raw. I don't know what else could have started off Monday Night Raw. The brand new undisputed WWE champion, the Universal, has been dropped officially from Triple H. Didn't say it. Samantha Irvin didn't say it. It's dropped. Your undisputed WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, kicking off Monday Night Raw. And man, for those of you who are new to the show, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, our fantasy booking show that comes out on Thursdays, the MCWF, it was spoiled this past Thursday over on Mayhem. Andy's segment was pretty dang close to what happened tonight. But in all seriousness, we have fun on that fantasy booking show. But fantasy became reality tonight, Andy. Cody got his moment as the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, and you know what a moment it was from Triple H kicking the show off and you know introducing Cody out and literally said he is the guy that is taking us forward from now on. So basically putting the company on his back, not just booking wise, but publicly now is saying Cody's the guy. Like we're running with Cody now. And then we go to that video package and what a video package it was. I mean, we talk all the time about how WWE's video like packages are normally really, really good. This was fantastic. It was already an emotional weekend of like, just seeing Cody get his moment and everything else and all the stuff surrounding it. And then they played that again. And I was like, it hit me in the feels again. And then the last shot of transitioning from Dusty holding the title into Cody holding the title was just a magical moment to see that. And to be living it out and seeing it in person, just it made everything worth it. I still don't necessarily agree with WrestleMania 39.
You said everything, though. You said everything.
But well, hang on. I was about to say, I don't agree with WrestleMania 39. But if this is the finish that we got to the story, then WrestleMania 39 was worth it. And so I cannot believe we're here and we're seeing this happen and it's played out as well as it has. But what a moment, man. What a you could see the weight of the world kind of lifted off of Cody's shoulders tonight of finally getting it done, holding that title, standing there in the middle of the ring, and the people just let him know he's finally made it.
Yeah. He's the guy. Triple H said it. The way that Triple H said it just makes me think he's not losing that belt for a while, man. he's the guy. During that video package, you said it hit us in the feels. It hit Cody in the feels. Obviously, Cody cried. Our buddy Aaron Grisham was back with us. He has to stop crying for 24 hours. Cody hasn't either. I don't think anybody has stopped crying for 24 hours. Aaron, you are not alone, my friend. Cody Rhodes, man, it's awesome that he's the guy. It's awesome to be anointed as the guy ushering in this new era. Nobody deserves it more than Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
But Andy, I have to say, before the video package happened and before all the emotions happened and all the kind of things, were you nervous at all that we were going to see a pedigree in the middle of the ring?
No. No,
not at all.
I think with Triple H being the booker now and everything, I would have been really shocked if he would have done that, because I think we've already got the authority figure in Rock as being on the TKO board. We don't need another one showing up. But I thought it was bad when he did it to Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. I would have cried if he'd have pedigreed Cody right in the middle of the ring.
Yeah. It definitely would have been wild for sure. I can't say that I would have hated it, because it would have been a wild turn that we didn't expect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it for just a second.
As I thought about when the Shield music hit at WrestleMania, that it was Mox coming out for a split second. It was just the instinct of, oh, Mox is coming out. This is wild that we're getting this, but it just said,
It's interesting you bring up the Shield, because Aaron just dropped us a comment. And then this is a little bit skewed, because Mox left in 2019 and Roman held the title since 2020. But it's the first time since 2020 that a Shield member doesn't hold the title, as in Seth Rollins lost the title on the same night that Roman Reigns did. Yeah, so,
and I mean, well, and during the time Mox was AEW champion, like three times.
Good point.
And a bunch good of point. Other, he won a bunch of other championships, and no member of the Shield is holding a championship at the moment, which is, you know, I've said it before, and I know I'm probably gonna get pushed back because I'm the young buck here, and there's been a lot of great factions in the past, and I acknowledge that.
Here we go.
NWO is great, Four Horsemen, DX, Evolution, all of them, they're great. I still think the Shield is the greatest faction of all time. I think they are proving that even still today.
Well, listen, we're going to give Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins both their flowers in just a little bit on the show for their lengthy title reigns. Let's go back to the Raw after WrestleMania, though. Cody, feel good, promo, blah, 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 blah. And then here comes The Rock. And The Rock interrupting him, the place going wild. I was happy that he showed back up, because it was one of the things that I called that I wanted to see Rock. He was still there. There's no reason for him to not be there. And he showed up. Man, they said belt a whole lot. You know, we talked about a lot of the things that is proving that Vince McMahon is gone from the WWE. Andy, if they start saying hospital next week, we are in trouble. Let me just say that.
I mean, there is that report going around that they are trying to move away from the sports entertainment terms and going to professional wrestling terms. And calling it a belt is the first kind of massive step towards that, which is, and you know, they've been saying professional wrestling a lot more, not just like in the Hall of Fame speeches and everything else, but like Michael Cole on commentary said it multiple times, professional wrestling and everything else. So You know, if Pat says it, it's one thing because he's just Pat McAfee being Pat McAfee. If Michael Cole says it, then I'm starting to pay attention of what they're actually saying and what they're not saying. And it speaks volumes that we are definitely in a new era.
And you have to give Cody credit for that, man, because really the professional wrestling term didn't start coming back to WWE until Cody came back, because Cody started using it. Cody said it in his very first promo after WrestleMania in Dallas, and he's continued to say it, and that's really slowly got it back in there. Now, I'm not saying that other people didn't think it or they used the term loosely or whatever, but it was Cody who first said it publicly and didn't stop saying it. And, you know, and here we go. But Rock being there, Rock interrupting Cody, they did the weird belt exchange, which, I mean, I didn't find it as weird as everybody else did.
Yeah, it was a little awkward. We even got a "This is awkward" chant, which is, I don't think I've ever heard a wrestling crowd chant "This is awkward" before.
Yeah, I know. That was weird. That I mean, again, Raw after WrestleMania crowd, okay, whatever. Yeah. Again, I didn't find it as weird as they did or as some people did online, but I mean, to each his own, it's fine. Yeah. But the point of the whole thing being that Rock's saying Rock's going to go away for a while, but when he comes back, title or no title, he's coming for Cody Rhodes. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Let's go.
Yeah, I am very excited about that. And also, like, the crowd was giving Rock the Roman treatment after WrestleMania 33. Of all the same chants and everything else. And you could tell how much The Rock loved every single second of it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was eating every single second of it up and going back and forth and enjoying it and taking his time. And yeah, I think it was very telling that he said, whether you have the title or not, I think Cody's going to hold the belt for a long, long time. But with the title swap, everything, I could see a scenario where Rock is slowly going to start handing the People's Champion slogan to Cody. And this could be the way that, I mean, he could take the People's Championship from The Rock. We could do everything, like going for all the belts, everything. I think it was just very interesting. He came out with it. It's on Saturday night. He came out with it again tonight. I think that's going to come back into play at some point when Cody and Rock or face to face again, or getting ready to finally wrestle one on one.
That's interesting. I don't know if the belt will come into play. I think it's interesting that they did everything counts, as Sam Roberts says. Everything counts, no matter what, where, you know, whatever. So I don't know, just because of the way that Rock was presented the belt, if it was, I'm sure he knew it was coming, but given to him by Muhammad Ali's widow and all those kind of things. Like, I don't know if he'll put the belt on the line. Maybe he'll bestow the People's Champion moniker on Cody. I don't know how far they'll go with that, but I like your point. I mean, I think that's a great thing for, like, you know, Cody said tonight, you want to hold my belt? Okay, let me hold yours. Well, this is now something Cody can say, well, Rock, I'm putting my belt on the line. What are you putting on the line for this? Certainly not your spot on the board, but how about People's Champion or, you know, whatever. So I think that makes a lot of sense. The big thing that came out of that segment, though, is not just Rock saying he wanted Cody when he comes back, but Aaron dropped us the comment here. I'm going to put it up. What did The Rock give Cody? Aaron has a thought. A Werther's original. No, it's not a Werther's original, Aaron.
I mean, but it might have been, because they didn't have the actual prop that they needed. And so that's why they were hiding it off TV. Really? I don't know. I have no idea. Like, I when he was taught, because it's very interesting that he handed it to him, but then he said, "Don't break my heart again."
Yeah, I know.
And so I don't fully know where that is necessarily heading, because I thought maybe, like, he was giving him the keys to the kingdom now because he was the new champion, or, you know, a visual image like that. But I don't know what that would have been. I think it's going to come back whenever we get Rock Cody again. It's going to come back as well. And I was also wondering maybe if it was something that Dusty gave The Rock And so it's because I hate to say it, but everything with Cody as like for a long time is going to be tied to Dusty.
Well, Rock said it in his promo. Dusty's his hero.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I wonder if that's going to come, like if it's going to be something tied with Dusty or the Rhodes family or anything like that. It's very interesting that they didn't show it, and they're going to make this a long waited thing to the point where we're probably all going to forget. And then all of a sudden it's going to come back and like, oh yeah, remember that after WrestleMania, they did this. So because, I don't know. I have no idea what it would be.
Like when Rock was giving it to him, I was trying to read Cody's face. I was trying to figure out if he was mad about it, if he was upset, if he was sad, if he was, you know, I don't know. I couldn't really tell because it seemed like his emotions were all over the place during this promo, which is not surprising for a Rhodes. I'm not just Cody, right. A Rhodes. Yeah. But what an incredible interaction to kick off Monday Night Raw. And then Cody saying, yep, I guess I'm your champion, boss. Just really cool, man. Just a super cool segment. I'm so glad we're going to get this down the road. I'm interested to see them doing it without Roman involved, it seems like. So maybe, you know, Roman gets mad at Rock for going after Cody because that's his spot. I don't know. Again, we'll fantasy book that one down the road, but man, having the Rock on the Raw after WrestleMania, you had to do it, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I thought it, which is crazy to kind of sit back and say or to think, but I thought there was a better chance of Rock showing up than Roman showing up tonight. Which I'm fine with Roman not showing up tonight. I think it's better that he doesn't show up because, I mean, he's been champion for, what was it, 1,316 days or something like that?
Correct.
And so that, like, keep him off TV for a while. Maybe we don't even necessarily see the turn happening. Maybe it's whenever Rock and Cody go one-on-one and Roman interferes and attacks the Rock, and then we go down that story path that you were just talking about. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe whenever Rock comes back, we see interactions with Solo or with Paul Heyman or something like that. But yeah, it was wild to see it. It's still the pop that everybody gets of like, nobody, like we all thought he might be there, but it's still, there's a chance he wasn't going to show up. And then we should have known when the first hour of Raw was commercial free that Rock was going to be there in the first segment. Because
that segment took 45 minutes.
It took 45 minutes. Well, part of it was Triple H and the video package, and then Cody, and then you got The Rock and everything else. But it's going to be really interesting whenever Roman gets back in the mix of how they're going to get to WrestleMania 41. Are they going to do Rock Roman at WrestleMania 41? Are they going to do Rock Cody at WrestleMania 41?
Are they going to do Cody Roman 3 at WrestleMania 41? Yeah.
I mean, I could see a scenario where we get Rock Cody at WrestleMania 41 and we get Roman Seth at WrestleMania 41.
Or Roman Seth at SummerSlam. Maybe that comes around soon.
Maybe. Yeah. But it's very interesting the path that we are heading on, because we have seen, obviously, long-term storytelling is important. So they're not in any rush to do this, but you also got to put into play Rock's not getting any younger. And so you got to kind of do this in a certain time frame where he's actually able to do it, and it's not going to be a Goldberg Undertaker situation.
Yeah, because it's going to take Rock, especially if Rock's out for a while, then he's going to take a while to get back into ring shape, and you don't want to keep doing that over and over and over, because that's how injuries happen. So you got to get this with Rock. Aaron says the Roman pop is going to be legendary when he spears the Rock and we get another Rock oversell. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, listen, we think the Cena surprise return is going to be huge. Whenever Roman goes full babyface, when his music hits, because I think he keeps the same music and everything. When that music hits,
get a little remix of it, but something.
But when you hear that music, I mean, the place is going to go absolutely nuts.
Yep, agreed. Aaron says Cody Rock at 41. Roman's out for a whole year. And then returns and interferes. Highly possible.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all. I think that would be like, that's a great way to build the suspense of when's Roman coming back. I think that's a great way to do that.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree. All right. If you're just now tuning into us, Squared Soccer Radio live after the Raw after WrestleMania. It is still WrestleMania week. It does not stop yet. Maybe it'll stop tomorrow. Andy, maybe we'll sleep tomorrow. But we have been at it all week long, content every single day, interviews, previews, reviews, trivia, the whole nine yards. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, if you're not subscribed on your favorite podcast platform, what are you waiting for? Please do it. We're available all of those places. Make sure that you're tuned in. Make sure you go back and check out our archives, all the fun stuff that we have done this week. Lots of people tuned in live tonight. We appreciate that very much. Aaron has been dropping us lots of comments tonight. I know you guys are out there too. And you've got lots of thoughts and comments about WrestleMania, but the Raw after WrestleMania, drop them in for us. We will be happy to address them, give you our thoughts and all those kind of things. But otherwise, we're going to keep rolling through the Raw after WrestleMania, man. We talked about surprises. We talked about how the Raw after WrestleMania is bringing back the luster and the shock that we know it as. And it started in the very first match. Ilya Dragunov, the NXT champion, showing up. Not just showing up, Andy, but facing Shinsuke Nakamura. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, man. I was shocked that he was there, especially after he retained at Stand and Deliver. And then, like, they announced that he's going to be part of the draft at the end of April, which I'm very, very excited about. Yep. I need to see him and Gunther go at it again.
Yep.
But I also need to see him and the other man that was teased tonight in the video package go at it, because Ilya and Sheamus going at it would be wild. And it's the kind of brawling, bruising, just beat the crap out of each other wrestling that I love. And I would be there for every second of it.
Give me Gunther, Sheamus, Ilya, and Pete Dunne in Fatal 4-Way.
Give me Drew McIntyre, make it a Fatal 5-Way, and throw it at Berlin or Clash at the Castle, and just let them go out there and just murder each other.
In a fight pit match.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. All the things. It would be wild. I wrote down on my notes, like, is this a one-off? And then they announced the draft and that he was going to be a part of it. And I was like, okay, cool. That's great. I don't know if that means he drops the NXT title between now and then. I hope not, because that's really quick for that to happen. You may as well have dropped it at Stand and Deliver. But in any event, here we go. Ilya Dragunov, the NXT flavor comes. And then later on in the show, let's just go ahead and address this now. Roxanne Perez, the NXT Women's Champion, showing up facing Indy Hartwell. An impressive showing. I missed on commentary. Did they make sure to make a point that she's going to be part of the draft too, or did they say anything?
I didn't really hear anything about her being a part of the draft. I think that was more because right after they came back from commercial, she had that backstage segment with Natty. I think that was just kind of a plug for NXT tomorrow night as well. But I think she kind of showed Roxanne Perez needs to be called up sooner rather than later, because I think she would fit into that division extremely well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I completely agree. The women's division needs, I don't know, we're going to talk about Rhea Ripley here in a minute. I don't want to say that it needs like an injection, a new injection of life in it, but like, do you feel like the women's divisions on both shows are just, I don't know. Is it me? Is it getting stale? Does it need something? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily stale. I think we just need some new contenders. We need some new faces kind of getting shots. I think we're going to get that. Obviously, Jade coming in is going to be a massive shot in the arm.
Yes.
I think this year is going to be a really big year for Tiffany Stratton. Yeah. I think they're going to push her to the moon as well. Even like an Ivy Nile. Like, I think Ivy Nile could do really, really well if she's given the chance to push. And then, you know, we talk about her all the time, but Candice LeRae, especially with this new heel character, I think she could go really far. So there's a lot of talent there. I think we just need to start not pushing the Biancas and the Beckys, which, by the way, I'm not against. I love them. I think for the WrestleManias and the SummerSlams for right now, they need to happen. But you also can book a Tiffany Stratton versus Becky Lynch with Tiffany going over to push Tiffany even more to the front, and kind of give her these moments and these spots. So I think we need some new faces. I think we need some new challengers without losing the stars that we already have established.
I think we need some brand switches as well. So I think the draft's going to come up at a good time, because I'm looking at Candice LeRae, like you just mentioned. Great heel character. Yeah, but you put up against Rhea Ripley. Who's going to believe that Candice is actually going to beat Rhea Ripley?
Right.
So we need Candice and Bayley on the other side. Not saying that Bayley's weak by any means, but it's a more even matchup for Candice, for people,
especially with her new heel character.
Yeah. And for people to get invested in Candice, because that's what we need, is not just talent, but we need the people to get behind these women and get them up to that point. And I think you need believable matchups. And I hate to say it, Andy. I'm not, again, I don't want to say it's stale. I don't want to say we need new matchups. We talk about it. We try to not talk about it all the time. Charlotte Flair leaves a big hole in the women's division, man. I hate to say, she does.
She does, but she does and she doesn't, because the only feud she's in is for the title. She doesn't really do anything else, but I think she's at that point now in her career where we could start. I mean, listen, a Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair match with Tiffany going over would do wonders for her and push her to the top. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like a Roxanne Perez or, you know, Jade Cargo versus Charlotte Flair is going to feed generations. Like they're going to go at it and go to war, and it's going to be nasty and ugly and beautiful all at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think she is. We are missing a Charlotte shaped hole in the women's division, and when she comes back, it's only going to get better.
Yep.
But I think we also need to like start relying on some of these younger talent to push them to fill that gap.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you for sure. Jade Cargill.
Also, I just don't want to hear from your dad.
It's true. That's a good point. Jade Cargill making a surprise appearance, squashing my girl Chelsea Green tonight. I'm telling you, man, when they did that backstage segment and Adam Pearce saying to Nick that they had a collaboration, I literally wrote in my notes, I said, is she getting Jade? And then boom, right after commercial, there was Jade. I was pumped about that. We got a comment here from Tyler Chambers on the YouTube. Again, if you're just now tuning in, drop your comments, your questions. We'll take them. We would appreciate it very much. Jade Cargill having a Goldberg-like run, but she actually knows how to wrestle and not nearly kill talent.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen to that.
Yeah, we talked a whole lot about Jade on our Saturday night show, I believe, since she wrestled there. Jade is... She's going to be a star, man. You just said it.
Yeah. She's fitting the Goldberg. Basically, she's being what Nia Jax could have been, I think, in a lot of ways. But I think she's really good on the mic. She's getting a lot better in the ring, and she's got a very, very bright future ahead of her.
And then you called it, I think you called it maybe last night. The days are running together. I don't remember when you called it. But I know you specifically said Liv Morgan should be the next challenger for Rhea Ripley, and boom, we saw it tonight. An ugly chair thrown ahead of Rhea, but, you know.
They were like right at the top of the head.
It was wild. But Liv Morgan, the next challenger for Rhea Ripley. Speaking of Rhea Ripley, let's talk about the other new world champion. That is the new world heavyweight champion, Damian Priest of the Judgment Day. We got a celebration for them. New Damian Priest music. What was that? Did I hear that?
Right? It was new. Yeah.
Got to have new music for the world champ, pal. He's going to be coming out on his own a whole lot. He needs to have some good music. But man, the You Deserve It chance for Damian Priest. I did not expect that.
No, I didn't either, but I also didn't expect him to look as good as he does with the title when he came out. Because as soon as you turn that corner, I was like, you know what? He looks the part. Like he looks like a world champion. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I didn't expect that. You Deserve a chance. I think just the moment itself and how perfect the cash-in was and how well it worked, I think that fits into like a really good jumping off point for him. I really, really enjoy, like, I enjoyed how they presented the entire segment of giving Rhea her flowers, not forgetting about her. But then you want to make sure like Damian got his moment. Yep. And I also love Michael Cole on commentary saying Damian's seen all the internet trolls saying he doesn't know how the Money in the Bank briefcase works. And he bid his time and made it work at the best time.
Yep.
So like that was like a really nice slap in the face to a lot of people, including us. Like we We've said multiple times, when is he ever going to cash it in? Is he ever going to cash it in? Biding his time. And, you know, I will admit when I am wrong on here, and I was wrong about him cashing in and failing and being upset about it. Like, I was perfectly fine. Like, the way it all structured and worked with Punk and Drew and everything, it worked really well. And I think the crowd responded to it tonight.
I know he looks great with the title, especially in that red suit, man. Look great. Yeah. I know he looks great with it. I'm still not ready to say that he's going to be a good world champion. I don't know yet. The bell's got to ring, Andy. And yeah. I'm not saying he's a bad wrestler by any means. I mean, I couldn't get in there and do what he does. So kudos to Damian Priest. But I don't know. I'm still holding out judgment on him. No pun intended. Yeah.
Well, I think it's all about who his first opponent is going to be. And based off the main event, tonight, I think it's going to be a great start because both guys are really good in the ring. And I think it's a great dynamic between the two of them. And there's history there as well. So I think that will play really, really well into Damian's hand. But I don't know if that's going to be his first feud as world champion.
Okay. You think it's just like a one-off Raw match or something?
Yeah. Okay. Or, you know, like a one-off pay-per-view special or something like that. But I don't know if it's going to be his first actual like feud.
Well, let's talk about the main event for tonight. Fatal 4-Way number one contender Jey Uso picking up the win over Bronson Reed, Ricochet, and Drew McIntyre. I'm used to Aaron throwing his comments all the time. Tyler Chambers, I'm glad it's not going to be Priest and Drew McIntyre in a rematch. I agree with that.
I did too.
There's too much heat with this Punk stuff and Punk supposedly being cleared, I guess. I don't know. We're too close to that. We need to get McIntyre away from that. Punk with a surprise appearance tonight. Costing McIntyre was fantastic. Jey Uso getting the win. I'm like you, man. On one hand, I don't know if this should be Priest's first big long-term feud or not. On one hand, I want Jey to win this. But on the other hand, if Priest is going to be any sort of credible champion, he's got to get a credible win. And I guess over a fan favorite like Jey Uso would give him that credibility.
Well, I mean, how fast we forget that Roman Reigns has only been pinned twice in the last 3 years. And one of the men to pin Roman Reigns is Jey Uso. So that's a really big thing to carry. That's like beating it's like to the point where it's like beating Taker at WrestleMania. You just don't kind of forget about it. And so I think that's a really good starting off point as a heel to beat the second biggest babyface on Raw behind Cody. Yep. And then, you know, where does he go from there? We don't really know, but I think it's a great start for him to go out there and to have a great match with Jey Uso and to really establish himself as champion. The one thing I don't want to happen is for Judgment Day to interfere in the match. I think Damian needs to beat him by himself clean to really establish himself as that champion.
I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. Like, if he's going to do this and he's not just going to be a transitional champion like Drew McIntyre called him tonight, and he's not just going to be the guy who's going to basically hand the title to Gunther because he doesn't have title anymore you know, what have you. If he's going to be a credible champion and they're going to make this Money in the Bank cash in mean something, then he's going to have to get some big wins. And that comes against guys like Jey Uso. I will say it comes against guys like Ricochet. As impressive as Ricochet has been recently, give him a crack at the title. Cool. That's fine. Yeah. But those guys can be beaten. And even throw Drew McIntyre in there. If you want to run that match and you want to, of course, Punk would be involved in all those kind of things. But you want to have him beat Drew McIntyre? I'm fine with that too. We just need to get his credibility up. And I think that'll help me too. Because again, I'm not saying he's a bad wrestler. I just need that credibility that he doesn't have yet.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And you know, one of the other possibilities is we didn't bring up is Seth's probably gone for like a month or so.
Yeah.
Maybe we do Priest Seth and Priest beat Seth. I mean, beats the former world champion and really established himself as the guy. I'm not a huge fan of Seth necessarily losing matches, but in that case, to establish Damian Priest as the guy, that's great. Honestly, though, I think all of this we're building Priest up just to feed him to Gunther.
Yeah.
And when we feed him to Gunther, then it all kind of falls back where it is. Yep. But I hope he established himself as another main event caliber guy, because the more main eventers there are, the better the wrestling scene is, the more fun these shows are. And I think there's more room for another guy like a Damian Priest.
I feel like that even though Priest, if we're setting him up to feed him to Gunther, do you feel like we're going to get to a Priest Balor at some point for the title?
You know, we have speculated so many times about the death of the Judgment Day.
Yep.
And it's still not happened.
I know.
And I don't know if it'll ever happen at this point. Like, I don't know when it's going to happen. And when it does happen, it'll be shocking because we expect it every week, and then it doesn't happen, and then it does happen, and then it will happen. I think the Priest-Balor match comes post-title reign. Because maybe in the Gunther match or whoever he loses it to, Balor accidentally costs Priest or something like that, and then we really start to break apart and we go after Priest and Balor.
Yeah. I mean, again, we've teased it for a long time. It doesn't happen. I don't know, but could be interesting. Yeah. Let's talk about one more big thing for Monday Night Raw. Aaron gave this his comment a long time ago, and I've saved it for right now. I said we spent too much talking about Cody, talking about the best moment of the night. Had to do with the Judgment Day. R-Truth, ladies and gentlemen.
So good.
Still thinking he's a part of the Judgment Day. I laughed so hard. To the point where my wife is sitting on the other couch and just looks at me and asks me at least three times if I'm okay. I'm literally rolling laughing at how funny R-Truth, and then you add The Miz in there too.
Yes.
Was absolutely just gold, man. Just gold.
When he slid in with that Raw tag title and just held it up in between the two of them, I lost it. And I love Priest's reaction. He's like, no, I am not doing this again. I am not going through this again. We are done with you. Please just leave us alone.
Yep.
Yeah, that was all great. And then the You Can't See Me man calling all the way back to Little Jimmy and everything else that played into it, and not bringing, you know, the surprise out right away, but waiting a little bit for it and then building to it. Just R-Truth needs to be protected at all costs, because the dude is so funny. He is so funny. I cannot wait till the day that this man is inducted into the Hall of Fame and just hear all the stuff that he says, because it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, man. I know. Listen, I don't know about you, but when he had that game show on the WWE Network, I don't know if you watched
the pranked one or whatever. Yeah.
It was some sort of, I don't remember what it was. It's some sort of game show that he had. It was gold. It was so good. I wanted to watch great. That. I wanted that to continue. It was so much fun. Anything Arthur does, just like, he can do whatever he wants. It's fine.
It was great.
But then, yeah, teasing the surprise, the You Can't See Me man, the Little Jimmy, all this stuff. And then it actually happened. John Cena shows up and wins the match. A triple, 15 knuckle shuffle, as Michael Cole called it. The triple AA for the win. Man, you talk about a shock. That was cool. Did not expect that to happen.
Yeah, I didn't expect Cena to pull up both nights. I did see a stat, though, that Cena has now wrestled one match every year since 2002 for WWE. So, he's keeping that streak alive. And yeah, I'm always going to pop for a Cena return, but a Cena return with R-Truth and just the whole childhood hero thing and everything was just, it worked so well. And Cena looked like he was having so much fun out there, being out there with R-Truth. Like, I need a tag title run with Cena and Truth at some point down the line.
That'd be fun.
I need them to be the tag team champions and just run the division, because they are hilarious together. And, you know, the more Cena we get, the better, because we don't have many more John Cena matches left. And they're few and far between, but when they happen, they're fun.
He said it on Pat McAfee today that he's pretty much booked all the way through Christmas. But next year, he's coming back to make another run. And maybe we get Cena and Truth.
Cody.
Maybe we get Cena Cody. Maybe we get the heel Cena that he talked about in Chris Van Vliet's interview that we've never gotten before. I highly doubt that, but it'll be interesting. Because he said he's done at 50 and what, he's like 47 or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. So it's probably going to be it. It's going to be the end of John Cena coming up next year, man.
I don't know if I'm ready for it or not. I hated the man for so long, but then I realized when he was actually gone, how much, how good he actually was.
I know. One more thing from Monday Night Raw. Again, appreciate you guys tuning in. Drop your comments, your questions in. We are live, Squared Circle Radio, here for you, the Raw after WrestleMania. One more thing, Andy, and of course you would be the one to notice this, because not that I don't pay attention, but clearly you pay attention closer than the rest of us do. The creepy stuff is back, ladies and gentlemen. It appeared in what? Bronson Reed's video?
Yeah, so in his interview talking about the fatal four-way coming up, the main event, the screen glitched, and somebody took a screenshot of it, and if you look in the bottom right corner of it, it simply says hello. That's all it says. So, and then before the show went on the air, the lights went out, the feed glitched, and then like a, not the White Rabbit song or whatever it was played, but another creepy song played, insinuating Uncle Howdy, or it could be talking about Alexa Bliss as well. I thought about the two of them, that it could be a creepy version of Bliss coming back, or Howdy and Bliss together or something like that, but more than likely pointing to Uncle Howdy.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Because
it's also interesting that the vignettes for the new Bray Wyatt character with the Fiend started the Raw after Mania. So sure. it's kind of playing into that as well. So, you know, I don't know what to expect. I don't know how I'm going to feel about it when it actually happens, but it is nice to see these little, in a way, tributes happening while also leading to something new and very exciting.
And I'm sure that whenever they bring it back, it will be very tribute filled. Yeah. It will be very, it'll be different for sure, but it'll be all in respects to Bray Wyatt. It'll be interesting, like you said, to see how it happens. All right. Appreciate you guys joining us again. Make sure that you're subscribed wherever you find your podcast. Like the video on the YouTube channel. Don't forget our partners over at Sports Wire Radio, sportswireradio.org. That's sports with a Z. Tom and the crew over there have you covered. The national championship, I think, is in the books at this point. I think we have back-to-back champions in the UConn Huskies. Tom and the crew have you covered with that. They got you covered with baseball. They got you covered with wrestling, all the things. Make sure you're tuned in over there at Sportswire Radio. And if you're interacting with them on Twitter, Tom is at ThomasBryce2017. Make sure that you use the hashtag AllWrestlingMatters. All right, Andy, before we get out of here, four extremely important championship reigns came to an end this past weekend during WrestleMania. And we have to give our flowers to these competitors. Let's start with Io Sky, the women's champion, won the title by cashing in Money in the Bank at SummerSlam and carried the title from SummerSlam all the way through WrestleMania, dropping it to Bayley. An incredible run for somebody that I'm still not convinced is a main event player, but I think it goes back to our conversation earlier, man, about establishing the credibility of this new wave of talent in the women's division. Io is certainly an incredible wrestler. It's just taken me some getting used to having a long reign for somebody that's not as established as a Charlotte or a Becky or whatever. But Io's reign coming to an end, a very nice way to get her acclimated on the main roster.
Yeah, she won the belt at SummerSlam?
Yes.
I think SummerSlam. It was? Yeah. SummerSlam. So she won the belt at SummerSlam, held it all the way to Mania. You know, not a lot of, like, top moments that we can think of right away outside of her winning the title. But she is... You knew once the bell rang, the match was going to be fantastic. Like, no matter what was going to happen. So... just a kind of a different type of champion, not one that held it, you know, like a Roman Reigns or a Gunther, who their character was played into it. But when the bell rang, you knew everything was fine. And, you know, I, I, I think they did a great job. Bayley did a fantastic job of hyping EO up and like making EO feel like a big deal, making all of Damage Control feel like a big deal. And so for her to be the one to take the title from her, you know, makes it full circle and everything. But I, you know, there was a time when she was NXT Women's Champion and under the regime that was already in control, I never would have thought in a million years EO would be Women's Champion. And yeah. Then it happened and, you know, it was awesome. Like we all were super excited for it. You could tell they were super excited for it. It almost turned Damage Control like babyface for a little while because the fans were so excited that EO was champion.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, we're in the era of long title reigns.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are slow. They are starting to mean a lot. And EO's is right up there to mean a lot and establish a brand new title in a lot of ways.
Yep. That's what we got to think about with Damian Priest. We were talking about earlier, we are in an era of long title reigns. So it's probably not going to be super quick to get to Gunther, but yeah. Again, we'll address that at another time. But yeah, EO, like to me, I felt like her cashing it, her winning Money in the Bank was just a shot at Bayley. And then her cashing in was just going to be to get the briefcase off of her. And mm-hmm. then she was going to drop the title the next month or whatever. And it didn't happen. And she's held the title since August and just a really good title reign again, to establish her on the main roster. I'll be interested to see how Damage Control goes. Cause we said it after WrestleMania last night, we assume that Bayley's still going to feud with them in some way, whether that's Asuka, Dakota, Kyrie, whatever. She'll feud with them in some way, but I'll be interested to see how EO is able to move past Bayley, what Damage Control does after that, and how she establishes herself as a prominent player in the division after this feud.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to do a rematch like within the next 2 or 3 weeks and then separate them in the draft.
Makes sense. I would do
like
it.
break up some of Damage Control. Maybe send Asuka and Kyrie to one side, and Dakota and EO to another side, and keep Bayley with one of them. But I think we're going to get a rematch fairly soon before we get to the draft, and then the draft happens, and we kind of split things up a little bit.
Probably. Aaron, I see your dig comment there. Yes, we'll talk about it, but we'll talk about it at the end, okay? I see it. We'll address it. And he knows nothing about it. All right. Gunther, 666 days. It was a bad omen for the ring general at WrestleMania 40, dropping the championship to Sami Zayn. I'm still not ready to say that he's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. And here's why though. I finally figured out why I'm not ready to say it. And the reason is not fair to Gunther. It's dependent on what Sami Zayn does with the championship. Because if the title starts hot potato, if it's not as serious as it was with Gunther, then it loses its value. And then it's hard to look back at Gunther and say that he made the title into relevance again if we just go back to what it was. Now, under the Triple H regime, I don't think it's going to get bad. I'm just saying it all depends on how they do it going forward.
Yeah, I kind of get that. But I also think, like, Gunther made the Intercontinental Championship the second best belt, if not the best belt, while Roman was gone.
Agreed.
Yeah, and sure. So I think he was the most consistent champion that we've had probably in the last 3 years, like just overall the most consistent champion. Mm-hmm. Had the best match. I can't think of a Gunther match where I was like, that was just okay. Like I think every single defense he's had has just absolutely knocked it out of the park. And what's really been cool about watching Gunther over like the last 2 years is the character development from when he first won the title to now. Like, I feel like he didn't cut a lot of promos in the first year of his title reign.
It's true.
And then this last year, not only is he cutting promos, but he's cutting really good promos, promos. And so, you know, we talk all the time about how these mid-card titles are the test to see if you are ever world champion material.
Yep.
And I think this is the most confident I've ever been in an Intercontinental Champion saying he is a world champion material. Like he is the definition of a guy you put your company on, like you put the company on his back and you just let him go and let him do his thing. And that's what Gunther is. I have no doubts and I have no complications saying I think he's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. I think it's the greatest Intercontinental Championship reign of all time, easily. But I think he is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. However, I do agree it's very important to keep that title extremely relevant.
Yep.
And that's harder now because both world titles are going to be on weekly.
Yes.
So now you have to figure out a way to not make the world titles feel less important while also making sure the Intercontinental Championship doesn't feel less important. Yep. So I'm glad I'm not Triple H. I'm glad I don't have to figure it out. But again, I think we know how much Triple H loves wrestling history. And outside of probably the big gold, the Intercontinental Championship is the most like historic belt I can think of. When I think of championship history, the first belt I think of is the IC belt.
Yep.
And so I think because of that, he's going to hold it up with such great esteem that he's going to make sure it's taken care of. And whoever's holding it is going to make sure that it's taken care of as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think it's only time will tell what happens with it and what happens with Gunther and all that kind of stuff. Aaron reminding us, yes, next week in Montreal, Gable versus Sammy for the Intercontinental title. What a main event that's going to be, man. It's going to be
a turn bang. That's going to be.
A turn that's going to be. You're exactly right.
I hope it happens.
They're setting it up for sure. All right. Let's talk about the workhorse. Let's talk about Seth freaking Rollins. The first world heavyweight champion. I don't want to say he's the first because it's this newly
The new one.
This newly minted world heavyweight championship. Man, Triple H's tweet about him today. Just, oh my gosh. Yeah. Putting him up on a pedestal. That dude had a rough two nights, man, but he delivered. And it's going to be weird not seeing him with that title, man, because that title was Seth Rollins since May of last year.
Yeah. You know, I think early on, after he beat AJ for it in a fantastic match, I think early on he kind of ran into the problem that a lot of other people kind of running into of booking him against people that fans were really starting to get behind. Like the first thing I can think of is Shinsuke. Because there for a while we were all like, or Finn Balor too. Like we were like, put the title on Finn. Finn needs the title. That would be great.
They wrestled like two pay-per-views in a row.
Two pay-per-views. I think Shinsuke and Seth wrestled two pay-per-views as well. Mm-hmm. And then Seth and Drew happened again. But the thing that has always been true about Seth, whether you love him, whether you hate him, as soon as the bell rings, he gets you invested. Gets you hooked in because he is just he's one of the best in this generation.
Yes.
I think you look at him, I think you look at AJ Styles, I think you look at Bryan Danielson, and I think you can throw Kenny Omega in that group as well, but that's just me personally. But I think those three specifically are the guys that are the generational talent that are the best in the ring, and they get you invested. And, you know, a lot of people weren't necessarily huge fans of the Night 2 match with Drew because it was like a finisher fest and everything else, but it worked. Like, I think it worked for what they were telling and everything they did. And you could see the emotion that came across his face when he didn't win that title, when he lost that title. And that wasn't, I personally don't believe that was a character choice. I think that was the man who has made that title relevant and now is putting it in the hands of somebody else, who then put it in the hands of somebody else. But I think it was a true moment of like appreciation for the work that he has done, because he needs to have appreciation for what he's done.
I think a lot of the booking of that match that you just mentioned, that a lot of people may be being critical about, I think they could have something to do with the knee, man. I really think Seth may have re-injured his knee. I was watching through the highlights tonight whenever they showed him on Raw. The way he did those stomps every single time, he never landed on that other knee. Yeah. Never. Not one time. And then in the main event when he did a shield spot, I watched a crowd shot video.
I saw that.
Of him getting in the ring. That's what took so long is he couldn't get to the ring. Like he was struggling to roll in the ring, and then Kevin Owens had to help him out at the end of the night. Dude's knee was messed up.
Which, you know, if his knee was messed up and is, you know, really bad or anything, I think that just adds even more to his era because he goes out there injured and does a fantastic job.
He does.
And you can tell because he's selling it, but you also can't tell at the same time because he's doing all of these other high-flying, amazing things at the same time. And, you know, WrestleMania this week gave me we've talked about it before, Seth Rollins is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Yep.
This weekend gave me even more respect for him because he proved he is a company-first guy.
Yes.
And he went out, worked the night one main event, did the job for Drew, and then did the job for Cody, and like full circle, very first promo they cut post press conference, he said, "I will be your shield." Came out in the shield gear because he knew that would mess with Roman Reigns. He knew that would get under his skin.
Yep.
And it cost Roman. And that's just like all of that just makes me respect him so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron dropping us a comment. Is it bold to say that Seth Rollins belongs in a top 10 wrestlers of all time? No, it is not bold in the least because Andy just said he's one of the best of this generation. I'm going to say it. He is the best wrestler of this generation. Seth freaking Rollins. I'll put him up there. As much of an AJ fan as I am, I will put him above AJ. I have no problem putting him above Kenny Omega. And that is not because I don't like AEW. Honestly, that's not because I don't like him. I'll put him above Kenny Omega. I'll put him above Will Ospreay. I'll put him above whoever you want me to put him above. This modern era generation, nobody is better than Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I think the only one I would put above him is Bryan Danielson. I think Bryan Danielson in the ring is generational in a lot of ways. And, you know, you're going to love this. They both work a very Shawn Michaels-esque style of wrestling.
So who is the greatest in-ring performer of all?
Well, who taught Shawn?
It's Shawn Michaels. I don't care what anybody says.
I think when you look at a guy like Seth, a lot of people get Shawn Michaels vibes and everything else.
Yeah.
But to me, Bryan Danielson, when you look at him, he's like Shawn, Bret Hart, and Roddy Piper in a way, kind of all, he can wrestle every style there is and is the best at every style of wrestling there is in a lot of ways. But I do, I don't think it's crazy to say Seth is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time in ring, one of the top 10 of all time in ring. Maybe even one of the top 5 all time in the ring. I'd have to really sit down and think about it and put the list together, but he's not far off. Like he makes people believe. And as he's gotten older, he's slowed down, but he's also picked up in a lot of other ways. And it's just, it's really, really cool to see that.
Noticeably, Becky and Seth both absent from Monday Night Raw tonight. Aaron says taking a break for a while, book tour, honeymoon. Believe what is online. I mean, I think one of them has said it. Both of their contracts are coming up very, very soon. Becky has said when she was on Ariel Helwani last week that this would not be her last WrestleMania because Ariel brought up the contract. She said it would not be her last. You just said Seth Rollins is a company guy. I don't think it's anything to worry about. I don't think either of them are going anywhere. I think they're both sticking around. But it is interesting timing. Both of them, Andy, we talk about Orange Cassidy of an AEW needing a vacation. John Moxley needing a vacation. Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins need a dang vacation.
Yeah, they do. I will say this. I wouldn't hate it if Seth took a while to re-sign and worked one independent match against like Will Ospreay or something, and then went back to WWE. I would be totally fine with that. But yeah, after Cody and Punk, I'm never going to say never again, because right, anything is possible. Anything can happen. But I just don't see it happening right now. Not saying it can't happen down the line or in the future. I don't see it happening right now.
Right. I don't either. All right. Let's talk about the last one. 1,316 days as our undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion of the World, Roman Reigns, finally drops the championship at WrestleMania 40 after winning it at SummerSlam 2020, the first pay-per-view of the Thunderdome era.
Yep.
Here we are. Listen, there's so much hate online and has even come from this podcast about the lack of title defenses, about the lack of appearances. Regardless of how you feel about either of those things, WWE, for us to talk about WWE being in the place that it is in right now, where this could be the greatest era of wrestling of all time, Roman Reigns led that charge.
Absolutely.
I know Seth Rollins was a huge part of it. I know that, you know, insert whomever, Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, the surgeons of LA Knight, whatever. Roman Reigns led that charge. And that's undisputed right there.
Yeah, no, he was the guy that carried WWE through the pandemic, carried WWE with smaller crowds getting back together. And, you know, we both at times, me more so than you, have been very critical of, like you said, the lack of appearances, lack of appearances. Oh, I'm totally fine with putting it out there. And in a way, you can't have this long of a title reign and have him out there every week.
Especially with a guy who is battling leukemia ongoing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you can't do it every week. And I think that plays into this really well. It played into establishing the next future of WWE and Cody Rhodes and everything else. But he has done something that I don't think anybody thought we would ever see again with this kind of a title reign.
Yep.
I mean, it's not been pretty. There's been really great moments. You think of the pandemic era against Jey Uso and the formation of the Bloodline and all that was great. Yep. You think of WrestleMania 37 with Edge and Daniel Bryan was fantastic. Yep. All of last year with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes and all of that was really great. WrestleMania going into this year.
Who could forget SummerSlam in Nashville while it was another Roman and Brock match?
It was fun.
The ring being lifted up, yeah, something we literally have never seen.
Yeah.
We didn't see it because we were behind it, but still.
We were. In the stupid light.
In the stupid light.
But, I mean, like,
you're exactly right.
It's had its ups and downs. Like, not everything has made sense. I will never forgive them for the Finn Balor demon spot because they never explained it and it never came back.
Yep.
But everything else that they have done, they finally made Roman what they wanted Roman to be.
Yep.
And all they had to do was let him be himself.
Yep.
And not be the cookie cutter, suffering, succotash guy that they wanted him to be. Not the next John Cena, but the first Roman Reigns. That's what they had to let him be. And once he became that, and once you put, like, you got to give Roman a lot of credit. I think you've also got to give Paul Heyman a lot of credit. Yes. I think Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns, this was their child together that they were planning and that they were pushing forward and everything else. And they have done a fantastic job. I don't know if you saw the clip, but at the top of the stage, yeah, him and Paul crying because 3 years of work come to an end right there. Man. And, you know, it was, you know, for all the bad stuff and all the good stuff, it's a title reign that will never happen again. Yep. It'll never be repeated. Maybe the days will get beat or something, but what we got will never be repeated. Yep. And it is very, very special to say we were a part of it and got to witness it.
I don't want to go as far as Aaron saying here that WWE goes bankrupt if he doesn't go on this title reign. I don't want to say that, but this era of storytelling that we are in doesn't happen without Roman Reigns and the way that they're able to do it. Andy, we say it all the time. If the pandemic hadn't happened, we probably don't get this version of Roman Reigns, because in front of no crowd allowed him to hone his craft and allowed him to make this what it is. The pandemic benefited Roman Reigns more than any other wrestler. You could argue Bayley, you could argue, you know, a couple others, but Roman Reigns becoming the absolute superstar that they wanted him to be. And let's look back, man. They Shield debuted in what, 2013? Is that right? Survivor Series 2012?
13 or 12.
One of the two. So from either 2012 to 2020, that version of Roman Reigns had some highlights too. We had some good stuff. Nobody will ever forget the night that he came out and said that his leukemia was active again and he had to give up the championship. Nobody wanted to see that. You know, so we had some incredible moments with that version of Roman, but then we get this version. So just absolutely incredible. The thank you Roman chance on Raw tonight was just so well deserved. I'm so happy that they did that, and Cody acknowledging it, and same thing with Sammy acknowledging Gunther. I know we didn't mention it earlier, but those guys being able to acknowledge those long reigns, especially with Roman, man, I loved it. I'm like you. We're not going to see anything like this ever again. I don't think we necessarily need to see anything like this ever again, but man, I don't want to say the bloodline era is over, because it can still continue, but this huge chapter or volume in the story is closed. And man, I could not be more appreciative of what Roman Reigns did in this era for WWE.
Yeah. I mean, he, you know, we've said it, he carried the company during dark times and during, you know, weird times with no fans, everything else. It allowed him to really hone in his craft to the point where, you know, I say it all the time. One of my favorite things about Roman Reigns is when he is cutting a promo without a microphone in his hand.
Yes. Yep.
And that's because he did that during the pandemic, because there was no crowd. And so we were able to hear him without a microphone. Yep. And so hearing him talk trash without the microphone in his hand, being able to make those little things matter and just picking up the pieces and putting together this masterpiece that he has created. I think it's very easy to say and very safe to say, if the Tribal Chief character never happened, Roman Reigns would still be the same boring Roman Reigns he was.
Yeah.
For the most part, maybe he would have got sick and tired of it and said, either you let me change or I'm gone. Like, I could, because I think you could tell some of the interviews and stuff he said, he was just as frustrated as we were. Like, sure. He knew this wasn't working either. He knew, you know, that night in Philly broke him in 2015. Because it would break anybody. Like, that was a rough night for the fans. That was a rough night for Roman. That was a rough night for The Rock. And so I'm very grateful that we got this version. We got this character. And there for a while, it was really hard to not like Roman. Like, it was very hard to be against Roman a lot of the time with the bloodline stuff and with Sami Zayn and with everything else. But he's really good at doing the things that get people invested, draws them in, and then gets them like on the edge of their seat, wanting more or going in a completely different direction. So, you know, for all the bad things I've ever said about Roman Reigns, he is one of the greatest champions of all time, one of the greats of all time. And that is at this point undeniable. And, you know, the thing is, he's not going to be around a lot, but I don't think he's anywhere close to being fully done. I think we still got a lot left to go and a lot of stories left to tell.
I don't know, man. On that A&E documentary that they did, he said once he drops the title, he's done. So, I mean, I feel like they can lure him back in for a match or two or three, but I think
he's not done till he faces his cousin. That's a given at this point, I think.
That is 100% true. All right. That's going to do it, man. Squared Circle Radio Live, the Raw after WrestleMania. We appreciate you guys tuning in. If you haven't, smash the like button on the video. It's a thumbs up. Looks like this. Please make sure you do it. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, it doesn't cost you anything. We don't send you an email or anything. Just hit that subscribe button. It helps us out a whole lot. And if you're listening on traditional podcast platform, make sure you're subscribed on those: Spotify, Apple, Podbean, Google, all the things. Just make sure you're subscribed. It helps the show a ton. We drop new shows every Tuesday and Thursday. What's our Thursday show, you ask? Fantasy booking like you've never heard it before. The MCWF. Andy and I take current day rosters and we book them the way we want to book them. What does it look like? Come join us on Thursdays. It's available podcast form only. Make sure you check it out. We got, again, a bunch of listeners tonight. We appreciate it very much. If you're not subscribed to the channel, if you're not following us on social media, at @SQCircle_radio, we appreciate it. We're just a couple guys who love wrestling, love sitting and talk about wrestling. Our Christmas season is over, but a new page has turned. The new year is here. Let's see what's in store. We just have a lot of fun on this wrestling podcast. And Andy, this is a wrestling podcast, but Aaron Grisham, whom I work with, likes to poke the bear. So we're going to take a small break from a wrestling podcast as we wrap up tonight, because Aaron wants to know what are our thoughts on Cal running away. And to give context, Andy and I are both massive Kentucky fans. Mm-hmm. And John Calipari has reportedly, nothing has been announced by him or by Arkansas, that he is going to be the head coach of Arkansas and that it's going to get announced tomorrow. That's the report. Okay. And it's been reported by everybody, the Pete Thamels, the Matt Norlanders, all the things. So it's probably true. All right. So Aaron wants to know what our thoughts are on Cal running away. Now, Andy, before you answer, I'm going to give you more context to this that you don't know. Okay. You see, Mr. Aaron Grisham, that likes to poke the bear, whom I work with, is a native of Memphis, Tennessee. So Aaron has a long-standing hatred for one John Calipari, who left them in the middle of the night to come coach the University of Kentucky. And the reason is because he couldn't win the national championship at Memphis because Mario Chalmers missed free throws. So he comes to Kentucky, and within 3 years, he wins a national championship. And Aaron is just bitter that Memphis didn't get that national championship. I digress. Or not Mario Chalmers, Derrick Rose. Mario Chalmers is the guy that hit the shot. He played for Kansas.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Sorry, I screwed that up. See, Aaron knows how to push my buttons, and he's doing it right now. So Aaron wants us to feel as bad as he feels as a Memphis fan that John Calipari is leaving us. Andy, what are your thoughts on John Calipari running away?
My thoughts are this is a win-win situation for Arkansas and Kentucky, because we don't have to shell out $33 million to a coach who loses in the first round or who doesn't even make the tournament. So that's bonus, because now that we can use that money to hire a coach. The only problem I have is none of the names really excite me.
None whatsoever.
The only one I'm like, I can sort of get behind, but after tonight, I don't think there's any way he does. Dan Hurley, I like Dan Hurley, but back-to-back national titles at UConn, I don't see him leaving UConn unless we just throw a ridiculous sum of money at him, in a way. Billy Donovan is really interesting, but he hasn't coached a college basketball team in, 12 years? 10 years, something like that?
If he hadn't had such a gap in coaching, that's who I would want, obviously. Yeah. And he would want the job too, but I don't even know that he would want the job 12 years out of it or whatever it is.
Yeah.
No, Aaron, we are not taking Penny Hardaway for a bag of potato chips. No.
I'm not that dumb. I don't want Penny. I would rather have Jerry Stackhouse than Penny Hardaway.
And I don't even want that.
And I don't want Jerry. That, yeah, that's how bad I don't like Penny.
It's terrible.
I will say this. I am grateful for the first 9 years of Calipari at Kentucky, because they were extremely fun and memorable years. The 2012 team was a lot of fun. That first team with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, probably my favorite team to come through Kentucky, even though they didn't win a national championship. The 2015 team is probably my least favorite team that's come through, just because I was so stressed every single game once we hit tournament time.
Yep.
That I like lost sleep over it, I believe. So I'm not a huge fan of that year. Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox and Tyler Hero and PJ Washington and Tyrese Maxey and Emmanuel Quickley, and the list goes on and on and on.
Yes.
They're great. But all those names I just listed, all those great teams to walk away with one national championship and to only make the tournament, the second round of the tournament once in the last 4 years. We fired Tubby for a lot less.
Amen. And that was a sad day in Kentucky history when we
fired. Yeah, it was.
Him. I mean, it was awful.
Look what we hired. That's what I'm hoping doesn't happen, is we don't hire the next Billy Gillespie, because good Lord, that would break us all at this point.
Yeah, I know. Man, I just hate that he's still in the SEC. I hate that we're going to have to face him, because he's going to be out for blood just as much as we are. But
that game when Arkansas comes to Rupp, I told my brother earlier, who's a Kentucky fan, like I would sell my home to get a ticket for that game just so I could boo him when he walks out there. Like I want to be out there and boo him.
See, I wouldn't want to spend that money, because I'd be afraid to go in there and he's going to beat us. Like, I don't know that I want that.
Ah, if he beats us, he beats us. Hey, if he beats us in the regular season, it's fine. It's when we meet him in the tournament, I'll feel real safe about beating him.
That's a good point. That's true. Aaron says the NCAA is getting ready to knock on our door. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they've been on our door for the last for years.
That's true. I'm interested to see who they get. I still think we know that Nate Oates is not going. I still think they make a move in the next 24 to 48 hours, because the transfer portal is open and time is ticking.
It's ticking away.
Yeah, so they need to do something, especially now that Bobby Hurley has won a national championship. Now maybe he gets on the phone with Mitch Barnhart tomorrow and we can work out a deal or something.
Throw just a crap ton of money at him.
I don't know. I mean, we've got an extra $33 million. So
yeah, there you go.
There's that. I still want Bruce Pearl. Still want Bruce Pearl. That's my guy, but I probably not going to happen.
Probably not.
All right, Aaron, I'm sure that doesn't suffice what you wanted. I know you want us to be in misery, just like Memphis Tigers fans are, but listen, alas, we are not.
You want to talk about the Kentucky effect? The biggest college basketball game of the year happened tonight, and before the game started, not a single person was talking about it.
Nope.
Not a soul. So Kentucky is fine. We just need the right leader guiding us in the right direction.
We'll have to see what happens in the next coming days. All right. For those of you who are still sticking around, I'm looking at our viewership number. I don't think we lost any viewers during that.
I think we gained a couple, actually.
So I appreciate y'all hanging out with us. This has been Squared Circle Radio Live. For Mr. Andy York, my name is Chris Belcher. We will see you back here next Thursday, wherever you find your podcast, for the MCWF. And then, as always, next Tuesday for your regular wrestling stuff. WrestleMania week has been a blast, Andy. It's over, but it's never over. We're going to go back and watch WrestleMania. I'm excited to go back and watch it. I haven't done it yet.
I haven't either. I really want to go back and watch the main event and go back and watch Cody or Seth and Drew again, because we were too loud. We couldn't hear the TV half the time because we were cheering and screaming and everything else. So I want to go back and listen to it. What a fun WrestleMania. What a great night. I feel much better after I did last year. And, you know, the future is bright for WWE, and it seems like we're not at the peak just yet. It seems like we are still climbing up that mountain, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
You said it earlier this week. The end of WrestleMania is going to tell whether we've hit the peak and we're coming down, or if we're still climbing. And ladies and gentlemen, with Cody Rhodes and Triple H leading the charge, We're always going to be climbing. And it's a good thing that those two guys are in charge. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right. For Andy York, my name is Chris Belcher. This has been Squared Circle Radio. We will catch you guys next time.